I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. There are still votes to be counted in last Tuesday's municipal election in Juneau. Reporter Adeline Baxter covers the city for KTOO. I checked in with her earlier for an update. So, Adeline, what's unresolved from Tuesday's election?
So as of Tuesday night, Garrett Schoenberger was only 122 votes behind Wade Bryson in the 2nd District 2 race. So we'll be finding out which one of them is going to have a seat on the Juneau Assembly. So since Tuesday, the Canvas Board has been hard at work checking all of the absentee early question and special needs ballots for the city. I stopped by there earlier, and 6 of them were hard at work, sort of working in pairs, verifying voter registration on all of the ballots. And as of yet, we do not have a set time for when they are going to release the results.
Okay. And so you stopped by City Hall?
Mm-hmm.
And what's that actually look like?
Well, upstairs in the upper conference room, like I said, it's 6 volunteers, and they are sitting with these stacks of ballots, and one of them is sort of going through, and they have to check all of the identities and voter registration, make sure that each ballot is, you know, legitimate. There's 2,500 of them, so it's a long process.
Okay. And that ends up with them actually feeding something. It's a piece of mail, right, that they're opening up? And
yes, in many cases, not in all, but because many of them are just early voting envelopes. But yes, then at the end, once they have them all, they'll be feeding them through a machine, and that will be the final process.
It's basically the same machine we use to vote on Tuesday. Okay.
So
what's the next milestone? What's the next thing to look out for?
Well, we'll be waiting to hear sometime at the end of today from the city on what the outcome is with those. Once those ballots and votes are tallied into the overall vote from Tuesday night, what is that going to mean for Garrett Schoenberger and Wade Bryson?
Okay. Thanks, Adeline.
Thanks.
Election officials expect results sometime after 6:30 p.m. In many ways, the three-way race for governor is complicated for voters, but it's also keeping campaign strategists busy as they try to clear a path to victory for their candidate. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman talked with political experts who are keeping tabs on the race.
Elections with two candidates are simple, but in Alaska's governor's race, there are three major candidates: Independent Governor Bill Walker, Democratic former U.S. Senator Mark Begich, and Republican former State Senator Mike Dunleavy. And while three is only one more than two, for political strategists, that extra candidate makes things a lot more complicated. Jim Lotzfeldt is an Anchorage political consultant who has worked with Democrats and other left-of-center politicians. He says it's a challenge for campaigns that want to go on the attack.
When you're candidate A and you attack candidate B, imagine it's like giving them an electronic zap, and some of those voters clinging to them fall off after they get zapped. And in a two-person race, those voters don't have anywhere to go but back to the person doing the zapping.
For Walker, any strategy that appeals to voters on the left or right sides of his coalition risks alienating those on the other side. He says his administration has been able to do what it sees as right for Alaska because it hasn't had to cater to the political parties. Here's a Walker ad with pipefitter Brandon McGuire.
When I look at Governor Walker, I see somebody who is going to make the tough decisions versus somebody who's worrying about their next campaign.
But a group backing Walker, Unite Alaska, is more combative. It has started criticizing Dunleavy in its ads.
When you vote for governor, will you choose a leader or a quitter? When Alaska needed it most, Governor Walker made the tough decisions. Mike Dunleavy? He quit the Senate, abandoned his constituents, and left others to do the hard work.
One group supporting Walker is the Alaska AFL-CIO, a labor federation. Joelle Hall is its political director. She says these ads will make Alaskans aware of Dunleavy's positions.
These are just perspectives and worldviews that the majority of Alaskans just don't hold. They view them as really, really extreme. And once people kind of figure this out, I just don't think they're going to think that he's, you know, not standing so tall anymore.
The strategy's been a little different for Mark Begich. Jim Lotzfeldt, who's worked with Begich in the past, says this year has seen Begich unleashed.
Begich is pounding away on choice and women's right to choose. And then the governor, who is pro-life, comes out and says, I'm pro-life, but my administration's kind of pro-choice. It's all fine. Why does he do that? Mark Begich.
Begich has made a straightforward appeal to Democrats and the political left.
I'm the only candidate who will protect the PFD and school funding in the state constitution, taking them out of the hands of politicians.
But Joelle Hall says Begich's stance won't appeal to Alaskans who are currently backing Dunleavy.
Mark has really tacked to the left, and so maybe that's not where most Alaskans are comfortable. Most Alaskans are kind of in the middle. So I think when they come off Dunleavy, they go to the governor.
4 years ago, Walker and Begich appealed to many of the same voters, but they were running for different offices. While Walker won, Begich lost re-election to the U.S. Senate. Now, they're fighting for the same voters for the same office. John Wood is advising the group Dunleavy for Alaska. He anticipates groups on the left will try to pressure either Walker or Begich to endorse the other, depending on their poll numbers.
The strategy is to try and get the public perception that one or the other, Begich or Walker, is pulling away from the other person. And that if they don't narrow it down to one of the two of them against Dunleavy, they'll both lose.
One sign of Dunleavy's campaign strength is the large early lead for Republicans in requests for absentee ballots. By the end of September, there were nearly six times as many Republican requests as Democratic. 4 years ago, that ratio was 2-1. John Wood says Dunleavy for Alaska has been effective at delivering its message, including the colorful campaign signs throughout the state.
It did it in probably the most professional manner that Alaska campaigns have ever seen up to date.
Dunleavy's campaign has also benefited from funding from the Republican Governors Association through the group Families for Alaska's Future. Its ads have sharply criticized the Walker administration's performance, including this one.
Alaska's economy is last in the nation. Unemployment is nearly twice the national average. It's time for a change.
Another sign that the campaign strategies of Dunleavy and the groups backing him are working is poll results. He had a 15-point lead in results released last week by Alaska Survey Research. Begich was second, 6 points ahead of Walker. Libertarian candidate Billy Toyen wasn't included in the poll. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
A federal judge has heard arguments on whether a lawsuit should proceed against Fairbanks and a group of former police officers in their handling of a case that resulted in four men spending nearly two decades in prison before their convictions were overturned. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports attorneys representing the city and former Fairbanks officers argued Wednesday for the dismissal of the wrongful imprisonment suit. George Freese, Kevin Pease, Marvin Roberts, and Eugene Vent were convicted of second-degree murder but maintained their innocence in the 1997 killing of 15-year-old John Hartman. Their convictions were vacated in December 2015 after they reached a settlement with the state, agreeing not to sue government entities. The deal came after defense attorneys argued new evidence proved the men were innocent. They claim the agreement that led to their release from prison is not legally binding because they were coerced. The sale of Penn Air's assets to the same company that owns Raven Air Group has been approved. At a hearing today in Anchorage, Judge Gary Spraker approved J.F. Lehman and Company's bid to buy Peninsula Airways assets for $12.3 million cash. The attorney for the trustee overseeing the sale said that the buyer confirmed the deal will likely take between 1 and 3 months to finalize. Penn Air is a regional air carrier that serves primarily Bristol Bay and the Aleutian Pribilof region. It's been undergoing bankruptcy proceedings since August 2017. And we have a correction to a story we aired Wednesday about the National Wireless Emergency Alert System test. The story mentioned that FEMA was seeking feedback and included a bad email address. The correct email address to send FEMA feedback is fema-national-test@fema.dhs.gov. 45 degrees, light rain at Juneau International Airport.